Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Good morning, good evening, wherever you're tuning in from. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got another fascinating guest in store for you and a wonderful show. I can't wait to bring him on. But first, of course, we do have my blog from a couple of years ago. Just kind of going through them in order. This one's a pretty good one. I like this one a lot. So let's get to it because I really want to bring my guest on quick. So this blog is entitled Vulnerability in Community is the greatest path of healing. We have all experienced trauma, whether we realize it or not. That trauma usually involves other people. So we put up walls to feel safe. We close ourselves off to connection, to guard our wounded heart and keep away from what might be dangerous situations. For the pain of the trauma we have experienced drives our behavior from deep in our nervous system. And unwinding that trauma and those patterns requires deep work. We often think that doing deep work means we have to dive into our past by ourselves or with a therapist. Yet if that is all we do, we are missing a great opportunity. For when we do our work together in community, we can access something greater. Sometimes far deeper than healing in isolation. Since our trauma usually comes from other people, when we include other people in our healing, we can greatly accelerate our process. For every time we are in a safe container with others and we can share our wounds, we can feel not so alone with our pain. And seeing others being vulnerable helps us to be vulnerable with them. That shared vulnerable space is the most intimate space to cultivate. In that shared intimacy, we can find wholeness. A wholeness that only comes from a sense of community, from feeling safe with others, and having the courage to speak our truth. If we speak our truth and there is no one to hear it, how can we feel validated? To share our truth with others who do the same creates a bond that transcends families and friends. It brings us to a deeper level of connection that we never knew was possible, feeding our hearts and our souls as it disrupts the patterns that caused our trauma. We are all so very different, yet in this way, we are the same. To feel the acceptance, the love, and the connection with others who are also on their healing journey is beyond words. It must be experienced to understand how profound it can be. Yet to be vulnerable with people can be scary. Yet it is the path to a joy that fills us in the depths of our souls. Is not the reward for that kind of vulnerability worth it? Can you find a community that can support you on your healing path? So I wrote this post a while ago because my wife and I hold groups sometimes and we do this healing work in groups and we also work with people individually. My wife's a therapist, as most people know. And people ask, like, why, do a group over just working one-on-one with someone? And I've really thought about it because I've experienced this sort of group work for many years. I think it's been 11 years now. And I really see I see the aspects that unfold when you're doing group work together that just aren't there when you're doing it one-on-one or by yourself. And what I often say to people is just, our trauma happens with other people, friends, families, strangers, neighbors. So when our healing involves other people as well, they can be sort of surrogates for all these different people. And that actually increases the speed with which we can heal, with which we can come back to wholeness. And so while individual work can be very deep and is very important to do, I really see there as a need for a balance to both do individual work and group work together so that we can go very internal, but then we can also work with others. And you know, sometimes that working with others is not that pleasant. Sometimes being in a group and there are other people there that trigger us, which is actually a gift, but can be very uncomfortable in the moment. And sometimes somebody can do something unconsciously, not realizing how it affects someone else, and it can almost re-traumatize them. But then that incident can become the fuel for going deep into a process. There are just so many aspects to it, and I've probably written about it before, but not quite this way. And so I really felt the need to really express the importance of finding a safe community to do our healing work in, where we can really be vulnerable with others who are vulnerable with us. And sometimes the magic I've seen happen is how two people show up to the group as strangers, and sometime during the process, they start sharing their trauma with each other and find out they have a very similar trauma. And suddenly they don't feel so alone. It's like, oh, there's somebody else in the world who feels exactly the way I do. And just that intimacy of connection is so healing in and of itself. We don't have to feel like we're all alone in the world anymore. And sometimes that's the greatest gift we get from doing our healing work with others. So that's our blog post for this week. Again, that's entitled Vulnerability in Community is the Greatest Path of Healing. And of course, you can always find my blog on my personally branded website, theconsciousconsultant.com, or on the station's website, talkradio.nyc/blog. And don't forget, if you like my blog posts, I do have a whole book called Everyday Awakening, which you can get at all major booksellers that you might be interested in as well. All right. It is now my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show pastor, teacher, and author Douglas Gillette. Douglas has a Master of Religious Studies degree from the University of Chicago and a Master of Divinity degree from the Chicago Theological Seminary. He's taught in the emeritus program at Oakton College for nearly two decades, as well as served as a pastor, pastoral counselor, and a Jungian-influenced life guide. Ooh, I'm definitely going to ask him about that. The best-selling author of several books, including King, Warrior, Magician, Lover, co-authored with Robert Moore. And today we're going to talk about his latest book, Soul Making, The Realization of a Mystical Life. I have it right here. Through his own story of spiritual self-realization, Douglas explores that paradox that lies at the heart of the quest for union with the divine. Those of us on the mystical path are each working on our souls to better reflect their divine nature, yet we are already reflections of the divine. To help you embrace this paradox, Douglas provides mythic stories of soul development and intuition from Maya and Pythagorean traditions, ancient Egyptian thought, and Astrianism. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Doug.
Thanks, Sam. It's great to be here.
It's really is. It's wonderful to have you. This is why I do the show, to talk about topics like this. And especially, you know, I just got booked the other night, but I was looking at the back cover. And there's just these two lines that made me like, yes, this is like the person I love to have. But how do we manifest our transcendent nature in everyday life? How can we construct our lives in the material world so they reflect the divine nature of our souls? And, you know, that's the point. That's what really gets me, is how do we take these spiritual, mystical, divine things, paths, journeys, effort, but how do we bring it into our day-to-day life so that we have a better day-to-day life?
Yeah, I don't think there's a simple answer to that I have anyway. But, and people often, myself included, experience at least two levels of reality, more actually, but two basic levels of reality. This level with all the wonder, beauty, pleasure, joy, but also all the pain and suffering and struggle. And then at least a layer above, and I think many, in which they feel, we can feel expansive, one with the all, and beyond that, in my view, with the divine. They seem to be so, these two levels seem to be so out of sync with each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that is real. They are at a certain level of consciousness and being. But there are many ways. There are spiritual disciplines, for example, as you mm-hmm. know, meditation techniques and what you're talking about in your blog and so forth, that people can use to bring this stuff more into conjunction. I myself have largely not done spiritual exercises, to yeah. tell you the truth. I've done a lot of depth psychological work, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which is similar in many ways. But most of my experiences of transcendence have come just shown up. Sometimes music, thinking, sharing, as you talk so eloquently about, visual. I mean, there are all kinds of triggers that can, you know, it's like that higher level is just, it's like the corner of your eye. You could just turn your head if you could just see, and it's right there.
Yeah.
Right there. So I think there are many techniques. None of them are going to, in my view, produce complete convergence or conjunction between these levels. But I think that's the way it's supposed to be. I don't think we're here only to get out of here.
Yeah.
You know? I think we're here to live it for some reason, and that yes. is the, but living it with the awareness that we are at our core transcendent is a whole different way of living from thinking that we're trapped here.
Yeah.
And you were talking about that too in your blog. Briefly, recently, a couple of weeks ago, I mean, I'm going through a kind of a dark period in some ways with not my wife, but other things in the family. And I had a dream that I won't go into in great detail, but I was in a university. Everything was filled with light. It wasn't just sunlight, it was light, light. And there's more, there's a lot more to it. But my point is that having had that dream, it's not the first one, but it's certainly really dramatic for me.
A powerful one for you.
Powerful. A big dream, as Jung would call it. That just keeps washing over me. So that when I'm discouraged, frustrated, sad, whatever about that part of the family situation, that dream is right there and it just floods right back in. And I can, the Egyptians had a saying that God has given us the gift of the awareness of our deaths and what lies beyond it, beyond them. And that sounds like, okay. But this dream was indicating clearly an experience of, I think, a post-biological me.
Yeah, experience.
Yeah.
And
and I see how wise the Egyptian saying was.
Yes.
I mean, it's not just that it urges us not to be procrastinators, but it's also that it's saying earthly life, mortal life on this level is incomparably more meaningful, more enhanced, more joyful, more centered, more, I mean, all the words that you can use, it's just almost occulted by the, hidden by the light that lies
just on, beyond the veil.
Yeah, just beyond the veil. So there's a practical, if you want to put it that way, effect that having these things flood into your consciousness can have. Yeah,
beautiful, beautiful. That's a great example. I'm really, I can really appreciate that. It's when we have that feeling, when we're reminded of the what's beyond this physical world, somehow makes dealing with the physical challenges a little bit easier.
Yeah.
So we got to take our first break. When we come back, I just want to ask you a little bit about your background, because this is not what you would say is a normal course of endeavor for most people. So I'd just be curious as to how you got on this path of these studies and this curiosity around it and how you came to write a book all around having a mystical life. Okay. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media. And we'll be right back with our guest, Douglas Gillette, author of the book, Soulmaking, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Douglas Gillette, author of the book, Soul Making, The Realization of a Mystical Life. So, Douglas, I'm curious, like, what got you initially involved in things mystical and spiritual? Because that's not, I mean, although I've been into this stuff most of my life, most people I find haven't been interested in these topics most of their life.
Yeah, well, I believe I was born with it. Some of my earliest memories are, I'm 2 years old. Actually, I think I have a memory of my birth night too. Ooh. But my earliest memories that I can say are for sure memories. I'm 2 years old and it's bedtime. And I won't go to bed without going from window to window to window in the house looking for the moon. So the moon, well, actually, I think it was, as I said, born with it, but the moon started it for me. What about it? Well, the beauty, a sense of mystery and awe and wonder and peace. And I felt there was something that I didn't think this at the time, but I felt that there was something behind what the moon was triggering in me. And that started it. And then I've lived my life backwards in a sense. I didn't go on vacations. I traveled when I traveled in my youth and early into my 40s, 50s even. Mm-hmm. All over the world, and in special, felt tremendous power of special places, mostly in Mexico, ruins of and so forth, the ancient cities, and I've structured my life so that I had the time and energy to follow my deep passions, which is what we're talking about, the mystical life. I never thought of myself as a mystic, actually. I thought most people or everybody at some point had these experiences. And it's only later in life that I realized that if most people have these experiences, they shut them out, mm-hmm. press them. Or they just say, oh, wow, that's, you know, and go on. And for me, these were all gates or openings or doorways to a much, a fabulous and beyond that reality that our reality here in this little sliver is a segment of or part of, but by no means the whole thing. And so, I mean, it just happened. And as it was happening, I started structuring my life around it. But I was born with this, I think, this desire to expand.
So kind of innate. So let me ask you, do you believe in reincarnation? Do you think this is something that sort of pre-existed your existence here?
I would say that for me, I think it's real, reincarnation. I don't know for sure from personal experience, and I try to base all of my writing, whether it's in the depth psychological field, history of religions field, or spirituality as in the present book, on my actual experiences. So I never borrow anybody else's purported experiences. So I would say that I have had experiences that seem like they are memories of former lives.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe even of future lives. So believe in is not, I would say, I strongly suspect, yes. Yeah, and part of that is from these experiences of other lives, and part of it is my birth night thing. And I remember, if that's the word for it, I think it's a memory. Lying in the bassinet in a darkened room facing the viewing window and feeling paralyzed, you know, as babies are, kind of little newborns. And I'm remembering where I was before I came here. And it was the immediate preceding thing. I don't know what was before that, but the immediate preceding thing before my birth was I'm in a vast, perhaps infinite space in a ball of light. And there are many, many bubbles or balls of light around me, and we're all together, and there's a warmth and joy, and I'm remembering that. And then I have the thought, not in English, of course, but animals think without words too. Then I have the thought, what is this place? It's so cold, I can't move, it's so heavy. And I think, oh, that's where I was in these bubbles of light, kind of descending. And I thought, okay, I'm going to forget all that and be a baby. And in that moment, I became a baby.
Wow. That's interesting. You know, I've heard of a lot of instances of children sort of remembering what it was like before. As a matter of fact, a friend was telling me the story of her niece and nephew. Her sister was telling her they had the baby monitors, right? And they had the girl, she was like 2 or 3 years old, and then they had the newborn son, and the girl was like, can I go see, you know, little Johnny or whatever his name is? I have to talk to him. And she was very adamant about it. And they were a little concerned, but they were like, okay, you can go in the room and talk to him. And they were listening on the baby monitor. And she goes to her little brother and goes, listen, I need you to tell God I'm okay. I'm starting to forget, but I'm okay. Please tell him I'm okay. Starting to forget.
Yes. Wow. And that wow. And then some of us anyway begin to remember bit by bit. Right. And that's another source or an additional source of the mystical life that I've had.
Wonderful. Okay, we got to take our next break. When we come back, I want to talk about what does it mean to have a mystical life. And I actually want to get back to what you were saying before about we're not here to escape this life. Because I have my own particular view of it that's shifted over many, many years. So I'd love to get into that with you, okay? So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Douglas Gillette, author of the book Soul Making, a wonderful book. Highly recommend it. It's kind of thick. It's a good reading project for the summer. And we'll be right back with more in just a moment.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. BetterHelp recently surveyed over 16,000 people and found that while 75% of people believe it's wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy, and people stay silent to avoid being judged. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching you with the right therapist, because we're all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/stopthestigma for their first ever State of Stigma report, the latest in mental health research.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So Douglas, back at the first segment of the show, you kind of made a comment about how, I guess in your experiences and in your research, that you feel how like we're not here to escape this life necessarily. And it was kind of interesting to hear that comment, because in the past, I had studied with different spiritual teachers and mystery schools and all that stuff. And a lot of those people were like, this is my last lifetime. After this, I'm going straight back to source, and I like can't wait to get out of here, and that kind of a thing. And you know, they talk about spiritual ascension, you know, ascending out of the body. And I've come over the last 10 years or so to more feel like we're not here to ascend so much as we are to descend these spiritual energies and bring them into this world so that we can create a more beautiful world around us. So it sounds like you might have a similar kind of feeling.
Yeah, I do. I would say about the escape part, yes and no. A life lived without that awareness of the larger context, which is apparently infinite and wondrous, as we talked earlier in the show, is a life lived in personality, spiritual poverty, I think. To think that we're just here. I have not through choice, but through temperament innate, I think, been a creator. Art and music and thought and, you know, writing. And I think a lot of people are. The creating is a large part, has been for me, of bringing that higher reality into this one. And also I think it is the irradiation of this realm in my life that has made my life magical and has attracted to me the things that pertain to me that I wished for or envisioned. So there is that. But I at the same time, and it's real, I think we're here to about 10 or 12 different, at least, purposes, but for being here, and not everybody has the same purpose, but, we're here for real and to be here, I think. However, as I said, we're most here, most fully here, authentically here, beautifully here, if we are aware of the larger context, the expansive and the light-filled context. as I've gotten older, I have come more and more to feel like, okay, I mean, there's more I would like to do. There's more I feel called to do. At the same time, I'm getting a little tired of the world as it is. And so I feel it's not a conscious effort. I feel myself withdrawing, disengaging as much as I can. I mean, I'm not intending it. It just is happening.
Right.
And I think the dream that I mentioned earlier of this light filled quote unquote university in the truest sense of the word is that, and some other things are a sign that I'm getting ready to leave and to move on. So I think all of the levels, and I think there are multiple, we're just kind of simplifying it to two right now, are real and for a reason that I believe is ultimately, maybe not obviously, but ultimately benevolent, that leads to our transcendent or transfigured being at higher registers of us.
I'm curious. There are people I know who are big what you call non-dualists, right? Who like everything is one, and some of them have this sort of attitude. Well, everything is perfect. Like if the universe is perfect, then everything is perfect. Just maybe from our human perspective, we don't see the perfection in it, but everything is perfect. I'm curious. Do you subscribe to that philosophy?
Again, yes and no.
Ah, okay.
I think ultimately everything is the way, and I'm going to use the word God or the divine, intends it to be for ultimately benevolent purposes. However, down here in this sliver of reality, it doesn't feel like that.
Right.
And there are choices that we have to make for, admittedly, they're often complicated, but for light versus darkness, good versus evil, kindness versus cruelty. And let me just say, we humans, this, our version of humans, did not reach the apex of the evolutionary mountain by being nice. We are the fiercest in our animal natures. We're the fiercest, most relentless, even cruelest species on the planet, with the possible exception of cats. No, I haven't.
My engineer might take exception to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke.
It's a joke.
So, yeah, there is the animal thing. And then there's the animal thing tinged with intelligence. And also, we've inherited our quote unquote positive characteristics from our from animals too, the chimpanzees and so forth, and the common ancestor of humans and chimps. And so that was there too. And we, I think, are called upon to magnify or enhance that part of the spectrum of what we are.
I'm curious. First, I mean, this book is a wonderful book. How long did it take you to write it?
If you leave out the editing and so forth and so on, the work with the publisher, the actual writing was probably 6 months. Maybe less, but while I was writing it, I became the full-time daytime nanny for our newborn granddaughter. So it actually took longer than that.
Got it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've written several books before this. What was the inspiration or the impetus to say, like, why write a book around the mystical life?
Because that is my life. And all the other things I've written in the areas of depth psychology and couples work and the book on Maya spirituality, The Shaman's Secret, all of that, all of it flows from what is in the new book. I don't know. I just, why write it now? Well, probably because I had a lot of other things to do and say and helping that I wanted to do through the books on depth psychology and couples counseling and expanding people's hearts and minds to view the Maya in particular as an important source of wisdom. I had a lot of things to do. This is my life. I mean, obviously not the whole of it, but this is the core. The soul making is the core of my spiritual and mortal journey.
So what do you hope people get from reading this book?
What I really hope they get most is the sense of that they feel evoked by it. And that they reach that threshold of feeling and thinking and life experience where there's a breakthrough into the higher dimensions. And I hope this enhances and maybe triggers their realization that we are more than what we seem to be here. And that fills them with joy, exaltation, wonder, awe, gratitude, and many other things, and ultimately love for themselves and for others as far as that is possible in this bit of reality. So I hope they have an experience of the divine.
Gotcha. And so you feel that's possible without, quote unquote, having spiritual practices, as we mentioned before, that you don't really have a spiritual practice that you do?
Yeah, I do. I do. Because the book invites people to reflect on experiences that they may have written off or ignored or that are similar to the experiences I recount here. I do think for many, many, many people, I don't know if it's most or not, that spiritual practice, depth psychology, spiritual practice of it, and things you were talking about in your blog are probably necessary or I think they're probably necessary for many, many people. The book is not a how to exactly, you know, it's supposed to be evocative. And gotcha. if you feel evoked, then spiritual practice, both as you mentioned, individually and in groups of, you know, and so forth, spiritual practice / depth psychology.
Beautiful. Thank you, Douglas. All right. We're going to take our last break of the show. When we come back, I would love actually to know a little bit about your Mayan book, but also like the intersectionality, like you talk about Egyptian thought, Zoroastrianism, Mayan, Pythagorean, sort of what's the through line? What's the thing that ties all these different areas together? Okay. Awesome. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with Douglas Gillette, author of the book Soul Making, and we'll be right back to finish it all up.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. So, Douglas, you've studied many different traditions, many different histories, many different aspects of human civilization. What have you found like pulls them all together? What's sort of been the through line for you?
The through line has been for me in all of it, and in fact, all of reality that I am aware of in all these fields of study. The through line is the journey toward, through this life, through the wounding, through everything, to awareness of ourselves at higher registers and ultimately oneness with the divine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I worked so hard with depth psychology, with and so forth, in writing, but practice too, in individually, couples, groups, so forth. That consumed 20 years of my life. Same thing goes for the church and pastoral counseling, though I never was a perfect fit, let's put it that way. You know,
doesn't sound like it.
It was all to help people move, breakthrough to what I regard as a more fulsome consciousness, consequently a more full life, both here and after biological death. So the through line is what I was saying about soul making, and that is evocative. All the work I've done in depth psychology and so forth for myself and others, and the work 20 some years of teaching everything from quantum physics to the origins of Hebrew monotheism and Hinduism, all of it has been really to evoke wonder, awe, gratitude, appreciation for each other too. Relating to what we're talking about last segment, I think it was to modulate the animal. Animals are great. We're animals, more than that, but we're also, but to modulate and move people from the spectrum of predation and all the things, all the feelings and that go with that, toward this sense of oneness with each other and all things. That can't be perfectly realized here, obviously. We have to go to the grocery store and buy what's left of dead animals and dying plants, and so forth. But we must. But yeah, the evocation of the richness, the complexity, the layeredness of the psyche, soul, spirit, and moving upward as far as possible into those higher registers of what else we are.
Right, right. Moving up, but without losing the fact that our feet are on the ground and we're here in the real world.
Yeah.
You know, life is changing so rapidly these days, faster than either of us have probably ever seen in our lifetime, between the upheaval in the world, technological change, political change, all this stuff happening. What can you offer to our listeners from what you've learned in putting this book together to help with dealing with just this massive change and chaos and feeling like the ground is like not solid anymore?
Yeah, I would say to realize that we also are at these higher levels. This is just one level. We have to live it. We have to get through it. It is not dependable. It's not a foregone conclusion that our species is moving as individuals or as a whole species toward greater and greater benevolence, justice, fairness, kindness, etc. We are not confined to this. This is a learning experience for whatever reason, which escapes me largely, you know, but it is that. And while we're here, to do good, love mercy, and walk humbly with the divine. Something out of, I never can remember if it's the prophet Joel or I can't remember who, but anyway, live as if this were not the only level of reality at which we are. You know, I mean, do what you can.
Right. But no, like, this is not everything. This is not the whole picture.
Yeah.
This is just one little piece of a much bigger jigsaw puzzle.
Right.
That we can't necessarily see all the other pieces.
We cannot. I mean, we can intuit some. We can experience some. We don't have final answers because those are infinite. And we are not, even in our transcendent states. There's a lot we could talk about around that, but
So let me ask you, in writing this book, did anything really surprise you once you put it all down on paper? Was there something in the coming together of all this and putting this work together that just once you did it and you looked at it or in the process of doing it, you were like, oh, wow, like a recognition that maybe wasn't there before?
Two things. One, the publisher chose the title and the subtitle.
Ah.
And it was a little surprise, not, you know, like, wow, really? But it was a little surprising to me that I was viewed by the publisher, presumably others too, as soul making. Because I wasn't conscious of making my soul, you know, not really. And that I was termed a mystic, as I mentioned before. Never thought of myself as soul making. Well, depths at the level of depth psychology, maybe. But I realized, oh, yeah, I mean, whatever else this is for some of us, anyway, this reality, we are making soul, or another way to say it, it feels like making, but it's also realizing, and that's in the subtitle too, the realization of the mystical life. So I forget the other thing I was going to mention, but that, yes, was surprising.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Douglas, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and away from your little grandchild to come on the show today. I truly appreciate it.
I can't thank you enough, Sam. I really enjoyed it. This is fantastic work that you're doing from my perspective. Really, thank really, you. Really thank is. You. And especially, as you mentioned, in such dark times.
Yeah, yeah. I hesitate to call them dark times because there's also a lot of light going on out there.
There is.
It just doesn't get as much publicity.
Well,
but they're very chaotic times, I'll say.
Chaotic and hurtful to many people.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. If people want to learn more about you, is there a website they can go to?
They can go to, it's Douglas Gillette Creations.com, I
Com,
think it is.
Probably, yeah.
There's a guy that tends that website for me.
Mm.
So they can do that. They can, I'll give out my personal email too.
Ooh.
But if they're going to use this email, they need to say, you know, in the title or right. subject box, who they are and what they're looking for. Because otherwise, I delete it. Mm-hmm. So that is Gillette D@sbcglobal.net. That would be a way to for people to connect with my ongoing book discussion group, Zoom book discussion group, if they were interested.
That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. Douglas, thank you so much. I so appreciate you. I know you said you don't have another book in the works, but if you do come out with another book, you let me know. You can come back on. And I may want you to have you come back on to talk about the Mayan shamanism book.
That'd be great. Yeah. That'd be great. Thank you, Sam, so thank much.
You. Absolutely. Thank you. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in each week. Without you, there is no show. And please don't forget, if you did miss any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on all the major podcasting platforms, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find the Conscious Consultant Hour. Enjoy the show. Please share it with your friends. If you're watching the video on YouTube, please share it on social media. Don't keep us the best kept secret. Thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget, later today at 5 p.m., it's Frank Harrison and his show, Frank About Health. And after that, of course, our newest show on the network, Serving Up Success with a Splash at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you all for tuning in. We will talk to you all next week.
Uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. BetterHelp recently surveyed over 16,000 people and found that while 75% of people believe it's wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy, and people stay silent to avoid being judged. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching you with the right therapist, because we're all better with help. Visit betterhelp.com/stopthestigma for their first ever State of Stigma report, the latest in mental health research.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.